Hello, welcome to another episode of Dear Jane. I'm Marcy.
I'm Scott. You know what? You almost sound like that SNL skit. There was an SNL skit several years ago where they were making fun of an NPR thing. Hello, and welcome once again, friends, to today's episode.
I feel like I'm a little bit still stunned at the conversation we just had. So for those of you who don't know, we have bright listeners. You've probably picked up on this, but we record the intro to these episodes after we record the conversation. And part of that's so our guests don't have to sit around and hear me and Scott goof off and do whatever we do. But many of you have probably been following the news about, well, maybe it's hard to keep up with the news because the Trump administration is moving so quickly, but about all of the funding that's been paused from USAID and the impact that that's having on different organizations, a lot of organizations that are doing good things. But we're starting to hear more about funding that has come from that organization to some not so good things. So at the time of this recording, news has just broken about different left-wing news organizations that were receiving funding. But it gets even more sinister than that. And our guest today is going to walk us through just all the horrible things that we have been exporting to the world through USAID.
Yeah, if you have been following this in the news at all and you've seen some of the stuff that we're paying for overseas, I guess the summary of the conversation today is it's worse than what you have heard. As bad as you have heard, it's even worse. So, we're going to visit with Raul Reyes today from Life Equipped Global, and he has traveled all around the world. He has been sounding the alarm on this for a long, long time, and we're just now starting to see this come to light. So, looking forward to talking to Raul today. So, I had the opportunity before the election. Marcy was talking with Raul and a group of people, and he was trying to tell us at the time the influence that the United States has on other countries when it comes to promoting abortion and other anti-life policies. And he was, you know, he was getting fired up. And I thought, well, I guess I could see that. I can buy that. But it was like, okay, Raul, pass the appetizers. Let's go on. But now we see all this stuff coming out about USAID. Raul, I owe you an apology. You were absolutely right. This stuff is a mess, the stuff we have been paying for. So welcome to Dear Jane. Thanks for joining
us. It's great to be back with you guys.
So first, what is USAID as best as you can discern?
Okay, so United States Agency for International Development started around early 1960s, and it really was a response to communism. And the idea was to assist developing nations, right, so that they would actually kind of go alongside with the United States rather than to go alongside with the communists and the communist infiltration that was happening at that point all around the world.
So that's how it got started. Noble ambition, like many things in government, noble intentions. Talk to us about how it has absolutely ballooned out of control. Give us some examples of things that the USAID is spending our government, our tax dollars.
Well, everyone is really concerned hearing about these outrageous amounts of money that were spent on condoms in the Middle East and promoting transgender values in it's just insane, right? Well, in my position as president of Life Equipped Global, which equips the church with sanctity of human life teaching around the world, I've been made aware of what USAID has been doing for decades now. And it really depends upon the administration, right? So one administration gets in and they really use it as a way to completely promote their policies, which whenever you hear we are going to expand sexual reproductive health, that is always a euphemism for abortion. And so check this out. Okay, so the budget in 2023 for the Department of State, which is kind of the sister, is 57 $1 billion, right? Actually, in 2025, Biden asked for $65 billion. Well, USAID isn't far behind. USAID's budget is $40 billion. $40 billion. Now, we know that the Democratic Party's primary policy and issue is promoting what they call sexual reproductive health, which is abortion, birth control, and the LGBTQ philosophy. Well, they do that all around the world through USAID. So you asked some specific things. So USAID uses its influence and its funding to basically force nations, especially African nations, to prioritize sexual and reproductive health, SRH, as well as the LGBTQ agenda, in other words, abortion and contraceptives, by creating incentives. They really cannot, the United States, because of the Helm Amendment that was passed in 1973, the United States cannot directly pay for abortions and contraceptives, which we were doing. Prior to that, we were directly paying, in fact, sending materials so women would self-abort at home, right? It was absolutely insane. But now, since we can't do it directly, we do it indirectly, but it's not even that indirectly. Basically, it's all conditional funding. We send huge grants to countries, and we say, in order for you to get this grant, that might be for something like, oh, agriculture or education. In order for you to receive this grant of $200, $300, $400 million, you must be, and then that's what you must be teaching, sexual reproductive health in your schools. This is, and I can go through a bunch of different examples of how to use conditional funding, performance-based grants, capacity building with conditions, partnerships with local organizations, incentive programs, and diplomatic engagement. These are categories that they have defined. And when you read what they say, it sounds so wonderful because they're using all this euphemism, but I've stripped away the euphemisms, and I can tell you exactly what each one of those means.
So as you mentioned, you've traveled the world. Recently, we're in Africa. You've written the book, The African Awakening, Bringing the Message of Life to the World. As I remember our conversation, we were talking about this before. I mean, and I'm sure in all your travels, you have seen some real world examples of the influence that is brought to bear by the United States government's decisions that are made on the ground in Africa and elsewhere, because they want to comply and they want to get this money. Can you think of any examples that you've run into to help us get a feel for the ramifications this has had?
I can give you an example of somebody that I met 4 weeks ago in Mombasa who had had 3 miscarriages, and she had them because there was this huge push in her country promoted by USAID to give everyone tetanus shots every year. And now we know that we get a tetanus shot booster, what, every 5 or 10 years. They were doing it every year. Well, what they had done was they had put a chemical in the tetanus shots that promoted a spontaneous medical abortion.
Get out. Seriously.
What's the reasoning behind that? What's the justification?
This goes back to the United Nations and the World Health Organization, who believe that the Earth really should have 2 billion people, okay? That's all that the Earth can handle is 2 billion people. Anything beyond that is putting undue pressure on the Earth, and that's why we have climate change. See, this whole climate change gets all tied into this. So in order to combat climate change, the best way to do it is to get rid of the virus that is causing climate change, and the virus is us. So whether we use chemicals to destroy babies, whether we use mass contraceptions, whether we use mass abortion, or whether it be disease or war, it doesn't matter, because it ultimately helps the Earth to eliminate the unwanted virus, which is human beings.
It seems to me I've heard you talk about, and others talk about, even in some countries where abortion is not preferred or accepted. They still have to hold their nose and accept it because of the U.S. money that's at stake.
Well, Kenya has tremendous laws prohibiting abortion, right? But Kenya, with a population of 55 million people, has 500,000 abortions. That would be 3 abortions for everyone that we have in the United States, if you talk about percentages. So even though the government passed the laws, the fact is that they're looking the other way, as USAID, World Health Organization, Marie Stopes, all of these other, you know, we did so much evil to Africa when we were colonizers. We're still doing evil to Africa as we go in. But we say it's for good reasons. And, you know, a lot of people, our enemy is not those people. Our enemy is Satan. A lot of those people really think we are helping these poor African women because they're having 5, 6, 7 children. And by having them only have one child, then they're going to have a much better life. A lot of people really, really believe that, which is in my book, I've shown how not only is that incorrect, but it's leading to a cataclysmic drop in population that we're going to be paying for the rest of our life. But they think they are doing something good, but they are doing something horrific.
So USAID started out, I'm assuming, exporting American Western values, capitalism. They're trying to come alongside, support different governments as the Cold War is going on. It's obviously shifted into something much more sinister. Maybe some of this stuff goes back as far as the founding of this agency. Is there any good that comes out of it now?
Yes, there is. There is some very, and Marco Rubio, who has said, I'm taking over now. By the way, the past administrators of USAID were always under the head of the State Department, and the Department of State is also under them. So U.S. Rubio has said, we're going to keep the good things. I have friends in the border of Uganda. They're on Uganda, the border of Uganda and Kenya, and they've started a hospital. They literally, on their own for 6 years, they worked here in the U.S., sent money back. They're from Africa, came here, worked as a nurse, saved every penny, sent it back, built a hospital, right? And now they live there. And one of the things that USAID has said they're going to do for them, which promotes USAID's policy and theirs, and that is to set up a whole bunch of solar panels so that they can have electricity. USA loves that because it's clean energy, and that's one of their big things. And the hospital loves it because it saves them a ton of money. That's a wonderful way for the U.S. to invest in truly helping and blessing the lives of people. So those kind of things, we really want them to continue. I have a friend in Cambodia. He said, Raul, USA does lots of great stuff for us, but they also continue to push abortion. Can we possibly keep the good stuff without them trying to have us kill our babies? So I believe, and I'm praying and hoping, that under Marco Rubio, the good things that we do, I mean, there's so much need around the world. I'm hoping that we will continue to do those things and maybe even expand, right, that kind of help while eliminating completely this whole policy of, you know, using blackmail. I mean, that's exactly what it is, using blackmail and bribery to promote homosexuality, LGBTQ, the killing of babies, and the massive use of contraceptives.
I'm glad you brought up those other issues. Oh, sorry, Marcy, go ahead.
I was just going to say, is that something that the State Department and other people are actively talking about, is making sure that once USAID is up and running again, it's been paused, you know, funds outgoing have been paused. Once it's up and running again, how confident are you that they are actually going to put a stop to those things? Because what I'm hearing about is all of the spending that they, all the money that they sent to like Politico and these other left-leaning news outlets. what's kind of, do you have insight into kind of the criteria that they're using for, like, these are things that we will continue funding once funding has resumed, these are things that are not going to continue? I guess I'm just wondering, like, how certain are we that we are actually going to stop exploiting these other countries by forcing them to push abortion and these other ideas?
At this point, I don't have any feedback or any way of knowing. All I know is, first of all, President Trump and his philosophy. And I have met Marco Rubio. I understand very strong on this position. Now, what we can do, this goes back, Marcy, to our political, local political influence. Like, I know Jeff Crank very well because Congressman Crank was on my board of directors at Life Network, right, when I was the president of Life Network. So I've already started communicating and sharing. I have all this paper all around me with all of this information as I'm sharing. So I'm sharing this information with Jeff because I doubt highly that he or most Congress people, right, have a working knowledge of what is going on with USAID. Both Elon Musk has and Marco have said they have been completely unwilling to be open to sharing with them what is it you do and how do you spend these billions, $40 billion. And so they're like, forget it. You know, if you're not going to be open, we're just taking you over. So what we can do as Christians is be reaching out to our congressmen. And I know Jeff. I say, hey, Jeff, here's some information that you need to know about. Would you share this information with Marco Rubio and make sure that he's aware? Because even Marco Rubio, working at the highest level, may not be aware of these details that we're aware of. And we can help by making him aware of that and telling him this has to stop. You know, I don't know if you saw Marcy on my post in Facebook, because I did a long post. Did you see the responses from our African friends? And yes. You know, they were like, thank you so much, because they're the ones that have been dealing with this. And they're so grateful that this massive influx of money and pressure and perversion and corruption is coming to an end.
You know, we're Facebook friends too, Raul.
Well, you don't ever read my posts.
I was reading it, and then you used the word pernicious, and I had to go get a dictionary and got distracted.
Isn't that a good word?
Yeah. So help. I'm glad you mentioned beyond abortion. You mentioned the LGBTQ and all of that stuff. Is it possible, maybe likely, that in some cases we have helped introduce this nonsense into cultures?
The things that I know, honestly, I can't tell most people because they'll say this cannot be true. It has to be science fiction. So I have two staff people in Kenya, all right? One of them, Pastor Wally Hannington, last year during school break, went and talked with 500 college students about sexual risk avoidance and abstinence and the godly way of using sex properly, right? And he said, Raul, here's what they told me. They told me that United States dollars from the government and from other organizations in the U.S. are saying, if you become a homosexual, we will give you a monthly stipend. It was like $100, $200 a month they would get if they would become homosexual. They're like, no, come on. You've got to be kidding me. No, because the homosexual community knows that by getting people who will start acting in a homosexual manner, they will then encourage others to become homosexual as well. You're going, no, this cannot be true. This is the college students telling a pastor, this is what we have experienced.
I don't even know what to say to that.
That's mine than that one.
Well, and that's you talk about the influence that we have, but when you even think about poisoning the well in the first place, you know, going into these cultures and introducing this nonsense, we are complicit in this. All of us, every one of us United States taxpayers, we're complicit in this, and I mean I'm ashamed. Really, quite frankly.
See, now you're coming to the point where Jesse, I forget his last name, but he was the guy that that came up with the Hyde Amendment. Yeah, here it is. Jesse Helms. He said this. He said, if we don't stop, this is back in 73, what we're doing, we will soon see the day when the United States becomes the world's largest exporter of death. Scott, we have been the world's largest exporter of death for at least the last 30 years. When we say there are 73 million baby boys and baby girls whose lives are ending by abortion around the world, we account in the U.S. for 1% of abortions. 99% of abortions happen outside of the United States because people in Africa trust what we have to say. And because a lot of the times we are blackmailing them or bribing them so that they will then adapt this murderous policy. But we are, and every time I teach pastors all over the world, I'm in tears and I'm asking them to forgive me because we are the greatest exporter of death on earth.
Mm-hmm. I want to recommend your book, but I'm depressed right now to... I will anyway, though. The African Awakening is the book, the bringing the message of life to the world. Raul has, how many countries you been to?
I've been to about over 30 countries.
All right, 30 countries. That's about 28 more than me. So pick up the book. If you want to learn more about this, you know, Raul has been sounding this alarm for a while, and we are just now starting to get a feel for how heinous this really, really is. So...
And thank how you. Much for- the enemy will fight against it. Have you seen? Have you seen? Yeah. Like, yeah. They're going wild and ballistic because we're stopping this perversion and this poisoning and this killing of innocent children around the world.
Well, and I'm so glad we're having this conversation because I even have, you know, Facebook friends, people that I, you know, we were friends in high school, maybe we don't really keep up, but a lot of people online freaking out or upset that so much is being paused, and because there are good organizations that are that receive federal funding, but I just hope this helps give perspective on we got to pause all of it to be able to peel back the layers and figure out what's going on. And yes, in the interim, that's going to be messy, trying to figure out what is good that we're funding versus what's wrong, and what are we as a nation going to do. But I thank God for leaders that are willing to make those tough decisions and say, we got to pause. We got to stop everything. We got to look at the books. We got to look at what we're doing. Are these the values as Americans that we want to be exporting around the world? And I clearly, no.
You're absolutely right. Here's what Biden said. He said, well, actually it was Secretary of State Anthony Blinken, right? When they came in, they said, under this administration, the State Department will remain fully committed to helping provide access to reproductive health services and advancing reproductive rights around the world. And we know that reproductive health services and reproductive rights are simply euphemisms for abortion. So this current administration is saying there's so much corruption both in the U.S. and outside of the U.S. because of these billions of dollars that are lining people's pockets that the only way we can get our hands on it is to stop. We just got to stop, see what's going on, and then turn the spigot back on to those things that truly bring health and value into people's lives, not death and destruction.
You know what else it strikes me as, you know, not only are we, I can't get past this whole, we are responsible for introducing this to all of these, to all these other countries. I mean, how many young people around the world want to emulate America? They want to be like us, quote unquote. And that, maybe it's overblown. You would have a far better feel for that than I do. But my sense is, boy, you know, we're held up as this, you know, great example of, boy, we want to be like them. And then we're going in and say, this is how we are. We have all these, you know, demonic, you know, terrible practices and everything else. I mean, that the influence that we have had, it's just immeasurably bad.
We have influence and impact. And yes, especially young men and women who are going to college and being educated. Absolutely. And the university is really how Satan has spread his poison throughout the world. It started actually in Germany back in the 30s, right? And from there, it kind of spread into the U.S., and then from the U.S. to the rest of the world. So these young kids, impressionable kids, who really live in tough, tough situations, and they want to have a better life. And they're being told, this is how you do it. You do it by embracing all of these values that have to do, don't be judgmental. I mean, because if you say that a man can't be a woman, then you're being judgmental. And by the way, if those students that told him that the government and that U.S. entities were providing funds for those who became homosexual, they said they are also getting stipends when they have an abortion. If they have an abortion, not only will the abortion be paid for, but they're going to get a monthly stipend if they'll only have an abortion.
Versus a monthly stipend to help support a child.
Exactly, which is what conservatives are saying. Yes, let's help the mothers. We hate maternal mortality that's happening in Africa, and it's because they have such a poor health system. We could do so much good in having them eat well, in having them take the proper medication, and having them the proper delivery services so they can deliver healthy babies. That's what we want.
I've never been left speechless so many times in a podcast recording.
Life Equipped Global is the website if you want to learn more about what Raul has been up to. And again, my friend, you have been sounding the alarm on this for a while, and we are just now, the rest of us, getting a taste for just how bad this is, how broad it has been. And so thank you for what you do, friend.
Oh, it's been 40 years now. This year I will turn 70. 40 years of serving in the mission field created by abortion, which is such an incredible, incredible honor. But I do want to say this, that the answer isn't in fighting the government. The answer isn't in medicine. The answer isn't in passing laws. Those things are important. They're important, and they need to happen. But the answer is in Jesus Christ. It's the only place and the only institution that he has left behind to bring the values of the kingdom of God to this earth is the church. And if we want to change our community, our schools, our countries, we do it by bringing the message of the sanctity of human life to the church so that the church can then fight this global abortion genocide, not with violence, not with hatred, but with mercy and grace and love and compassion, because that's the way that Christ taught us to win hearts.
Amen. Well said. Very well said. We're going to have you back on as this develops, because I have a feeling this USAID stuff isn't going to go away anytime soon. Raul Reyes, thanks for joining us today here on Dear Jane.
It was awesome to see both of you. Marcy, it was wonderful to see you. We live in the same town. Maybe we can get together sometime. We'll see the family.
Yes.
Thanks again for listening to Dear Jane.
You can follow along every day on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and X. And make sure you also are subscribed so you never miss an episode on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, as well as YouTube. Ring that bell so you're notified and you never miss an episode.